Praise the Lord, Ascend Church. Come on, let's offer God some worship with the fruit of our lips. We don't have to sow seeds and have apples and grapes and things of that nature. Offer him a sacrifice of praise because of all that he is, all that he's done, all that he will do. He's worthy of it. Hallelujah.
Sometimes you gotta dance through the darkness, sing through the fire, praise when it don't make sense. Sometimes you gotta stand on the giant, worship from the lion's den. Sometimes you gotta shout it from the mountain, louder in the valley, trust him that he's gonna get you there. Sometimes you gotta welcome the wonder, wait for the answer, worship with your hands in the air. I'll praise you anywhere.
Praise, give him praise, give him praise in the highest. Praise, give him praise in the highest. He is worthy, yes, he is worthy of all of the praise.
Sometimes you gotta praise in the prison, cry out to heaven, shout to the door, sing wide. Sometimes you gotta stand on your shackles, brave in the battle, worship with your hands held high. I'll praise you anywhere.
Praise, give him praise, give him praise in the highest. Praise, give him praise, give him praise in the highest. Yes, he is worthy of all of the praise. Give him praise, give him praise in the highest. Praise, give him praise, give him praise in the highest. He is worthy. Yes, he is worthy of all of the praise.
Blessing day and night, countless reason why I'll praise you anywhere. Praise his goodness every step, each and every breath. I'll praise you anywhere.
Faithful all my life, blessings day and night, countless reason why I'll praise you anywhere. Every promise kept, goodness every step, each and every breath, I'll praise you anywhere.
Praise, give him praise, give him praise in the highest.
Praise, give him praise, give him praise in the highest. He is worthy, yes, he is worthy of all of the praise.
Give him praise,
give him praise in the highest. Praise, give him praise, give him praise in the highest. He is worthy, yes, he is worthy of all of the praise.
Somebody give him a shout this morning.
Hallelujah.
Father, we thank you that you, if you said it, you'll do it. That you are faithful to the end. Your word is true. And we thank you that you've called us by name, God, and that we can boldly declare that our God is a way maker. Somebody give him praise just for that in this place. Thank you, God. Oh, we worship.
I worship you.
touching every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, healing every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, touching every heart. I worship you. I worship you. Light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Hey, we call you Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper. Light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Hey, yeah, yeah, Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper. Light in the darkness.
Miracle work, promise keep.
Hallelujah. How many believe that in this place? I thank you, Lord. We bless your name. At this time. Yes, sir. We bless you, Lord. We bless you. Come on, church. Let's get into worship this morning. Hallelujah.
You are not a man that you should lie, nor the son of man that you should repent. If you said it, you will do it. We can take every promise to the bank. We can cash in on everything that Jesus said we can have. Here we go.
I know you will come through this mountain that's moving. I fix my eyes on you. If you said it,
yeah, you got it. Hey,
because you are God, no matter the odds, the outcome is always the same. The words on the pages, the promise you made us, still have the final say. You will make a way. Always make a way. I believe you will make a way. Always make a way.
I won't fear tomorrow, 'cause you're already in it. And my hope and my future is already written. Because you are God, no matter the odds, the outcome is always the same. And the words on the pages, the promise you made us, still have the fun. Come on, church!
You will make a way. Always make a way. Never failed me yet. You will make a way. Yeah. Always make a way. The righteous will never be forsaken. You will make a way. Yeah. Always make a way.
Oh.
Never seen the righteous forsaken, nor receive begging bread. Never seen the righteous forsaken. Yeah.
Nothing's too hard for you. Impossible's what you do. I know you got this too. Impossible's what you do. Come on, somebody testify.
Nothing's too hard for you. Impossible's what you do. I know you got this too. Impossible's what you do.
Oh, no matter what it looks like, nothing's too hard for you.
Impossible's what you do. I know you got. Impossible's what you do.
Whoa, and nothing's too hard for you.
Impossible's what you do.
I know
you got this too. Impossible's what you do.
Whoa,
you won't make a way.
Make a way.
always make a way.
You're working it for my good.
You will make a way. Always make a way.
Let's declare it.
You will make a way.
You always make a way. Our God always makes a way, even when you don't see a way, even when there is no way. He's the way maker. Can you say amen, somebody? He's the way maker, the miracle worker, the promise keeper. He's the light in the darkness. Amen? And right now we want to pray, if whatever you may be facing. I want you to know that our God is a miracle-working God. He's still a miracle-working God. He hasn't changed. He is the same. And everything that He's ever done in the past, He'll still do it again. And so if you need prayer this morning, whatever it may be, we've seen the Lord do miracles and heal people physically. There's Dolores back there taking pictures. The Lord healed her of a brain aneurysm. She was scheduled for surgery. She went in for the surgery. We prayed for her the night before. And when they went, she went in for the surgery, they couldn't find it. They didn't do it. It was completely gone. We've seen many miracles. We've seen growths disappear. All kinds of things. Our God is a healer. If you need healing in your body, we want to pray for you. We've prayed for people even online. People who've called in or sent a message on Facebook and said, pray for me. And we've prayed for them, and God's done a miracle, and they were 1,000 miles away. Because there's no distance in prayer. The Lord here is with us. He's there with them. So maybe you've got someone you say, I want to pray for them, like Jason said to me this morning. Come up here, Jason. We're going to pray for, come stand up here with me. We're going to pray for your niece? Your cousin. We're gonna pray for your cousin. If I want to ask our prayer partners to come forward, and I want to ask if you need prayer, whatever it is, maybe you need healing in your body. Let me tell you, God is a healer, can heal you just like that. I've seen it thousands of times. Maybe you have a financial need. You don't know what you're gonna do. Our God promised He would supply all of your need according to His riches in glory. Whatever it is that you're facing, you say, Pastor Steve, I just don't see a way. Listen, God can make a way. But you got to look to Him. You got to call on Him. The Bible says, call on me and I will answer you. The Bible says you don't have what you need because you don't ask me. Very often the reason that God can't do more for us is we don't look to Him. We don't ask Him. We don't trust Him. You need to trust God with everything you face, big things and small things. Amen? So now, what is your cousin's name?
Amy Piper.
Amy Piper, and where is she?
Fort Myers, and they're watching online.
And they're watching us right now, and did she go to the hospital yesterday?
She just got out, and she's on special medication, and they hope it works.
So we're going to pray for Amy today. Will you trust the Lord with us today? If you need prayer, come forward right now. If you're watching this today, we pray for Amy. Father, we thank You that You are our healer. We thank You, Jesus, that You took our sickness, You bore our disease, and by Your wounds we are healed. We thank You, Lord, that healing belongs to us. It is Your will that we would be in health. Father, I pray for Amy. Let Your healing power flow through her body right now. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke all sickness and all disease. I command sickness to go from Amy. I command her body to be healed in the name of Jesus, to be made whole. And Lord, we give you all the praise, and we give you all the honor, and we give you all the glory. We agree together. Say, I agree in Jesus' name that Amy is healed. Amen. And if you're watching this, whatever you may need, if you need healing, if you need the Lord to make a way, you say, Pastor Steve, I just don't know what to do. Let me tell you, when you don't see a way, God has a way. Look to Him and trust Him. Father, I pray for everyone who's watching this, whatever it is they're facing, they don't see a way out. We thank you. You're the way maker. You're the miracle worker. You're the promise keeper. You're our light in the darkness. I pray, Father, that you would make a way for them, that you would supply every need, that you would break through every barrier, that you would go before them, that you would level this, make the crooked places straight. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, for doing miracles right now, for setting people free. I take authority over every addiction. You've been bound by an addiction. I command that addiction to go from you. In Jesus' name, I declare you are free. Thank you right now, Father. We give you praise for making a way, for doing miracles, for healing, for setting people free, for providing, Lord. We thank you that you are good, Lord, and your mercy endures forever. In Jesus' name, say amen if you agree. Amen, right, Jason? Amen. We're going to sing by the way, that song, Make a Way, I just love that song. In fact, all the songs today, I help pick them, and they tie right in with what I'm preaching on today. I'm preaching on the Waymaker. And this final song, what is this one called? Not Afraid, man. I'm not afraid. Why? Because the Lord is with me wherever I go, whatever I face. He's with me in the valley. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, Lord. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. You make a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Amen. Come on, let's sing it out like we believe it today. Join with us. Lift your voice. Lift your hands. Declare it today. We're giving God praise today. Amen.
I have this confidence because I've seen the faithfulness of God. The still inside the storm, the promise of the shore. I trust the power of your word, enough to seek your kingdom first. Beyond the barren place, beyond the ocean waves, 'cause when I walk through the water, I won't be overcome. When go through the river, I will not be drowned. My God will make a way, so I am not afraid. You keep the promises you made. There isn't one that is delayed. So my arms, as I just sing into the night, the trees will call the sun to rise, declare the battle won, declare that it is done.
When I walk through the water, I won't be over.
always beside me, no shadow, no valley where you won't find me. No, I am not afraid. No, I am not afraid. Whoa.
Before me, behind me, always beside me, no shadow, no valley.
Interesting thing about the pathway is that it has words on it. And you know, we talk about walking with the Lord. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the light. And I'll remind you that it says in Psalm 139, while you were being formed in your mother's womb, before you took your first breath, I knew you. And I wrote in your book. And there are words that God has written for the destiny of your life. And he says, I'll lead you along the best pathway for your life. And we're singing about the fact that we can hold God to the promises in his word. So those words that are written along this pathway are words that God has written specifically for you. They are specific to your life. He knows you. He loves you. He has a plan for you. He has a straight path. And as we walk upon those words of what He's destined for our lives. Amen. And as we walk upon the promises of the Word of God. Because Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And you know what it is about a pathway? That it doesn't matter what's on either side of you if you stick to the pathway. It doesn't matter, actually, if you're in a valley. It doesn't matter if you're in a valley as long as you stick to the pathway. It doesn't matter if you're walking on the edge of a cliff if you stick to the pathway. It doesn't matter if you're facing all kinds of obstacles if you're on the pathway, says the Lord. Stick to the pathway that I have for you. And the way to stick to the pathway is stick to my word. Make sure you're walking on the words that I have spoken. Don't deviate from what I have said, says the Lord. Don't deviate and begin to think, well, I know God said that, but I don't think that means that for me. Because I know I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And I guarantee you that if you stick to my word, you will see a way made before you that there never seemed to be a way, says the Lord. You will see a way. Stick to my word, says the Lord. Trust in my word, says the Lord. Believe in my word, says the Lord. Speak my word out of your mouth. Let every other thought be cast down. Every imagination, every deception, anything that contradicts my word, toss it out, says the Lord, because you can trust my word. And as long as you stay on that word, you stay on the path that keeps you in a place of safety and leads you to a place of victory. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I receive that. Praise God for His word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word of God. We exalt the Word of God above every thought that we have. Amen. Praise God. How wonderful to see you in church today. Won't you just turn and greet someone? Tell them, I'm so glad to see you. And you may be seated. Looking good today. Thank God for air conditioning, right? Is this a hot summer or is this a hot summer? I was like, man, I didn't know I could perspire since I lived through a Florida July. Amen. Oh, so good to see you in church. Welcome to each and every one of you. To those watching online, welcome to Ascend Church. Thank you for joining us today. We have people that watch on our mobile app. People that watch on Facebook Live, watch on YouTube. I saw like 538 people watched on YouTube in the last couple of weeks. That's an extension of what we're doing right here in this church. I thank God for the reach of the word. And so if you're watching, wherever you're watching on our website, we're glad you've joined us today. If you can, just let us know where you're watching from, if you have a prayer request. As Pastor Steve said, we've had the opportunity to pray for many people that can't get you in person because they're out of state or out of country. And thank God there's no distance in prayer. Amen. So we're so glad that you're here today. I especially want to welcome anyone who's visiting for the first time. I see a number of faces I haven't seen before. So if you're here for the first time, we don't want to embarrass you in any way, but we just like to honor you, welcome you, and just hand you a visitor pack where you're sitting. So would you mind just waving your hand? Is this the first time you've been to Ascend Church? Come on, family. God bless you. God bless you. Just keep it up until one of our ushers sees you. Thank you so much. We're so glad you've joined us today. You know, I know people travel through the summer. We have members of ours that are away and some that are back today. Others are away. And perhaps you're traveling through town. Maybe someone invited you. But I always believe that God is directing our footsteps. And so I pray that you get today whatever it is that you need from the Lord, that you hear a word that encourages you and uplifts you. And I hope you feel welcome, because this is the most welcoming community of believers. I can tell you that, really wonderful people. So thank you for joining us today. In that visitor pack, there should be a card, or in the seat back in front of you, that says guest, or any one of those cards. If you wouldn't mind just filling your name out, and when an offering bucket comes by in a little while, just drop it in. And the reason we do that is just so that pastor can shepherd the flock better, that he could get in touch with you and just find out how you enjoyed the service. And if you're able to just hang around and greet us afterwards, we would appreciate that. Amen. Praise God. Well, at this time in the service, we're going to have the opportunity to give into the kingdom of God. It's an opportunity. It's an investment. Amen. And Pastor Steve and I listened to a testimony this week, and it encouraged the two of us so much that I thought I'd share it with you. I was going to play it for you, but the video was probably not going to work as well as me just telling it. So anyone heard of Mike Murdoch? Mike Murdoch has a real revelation, real understanding of financial matters in the kingdom of God. And so he said this. He said, he used this scripture, which is Genesis 8, verse 22. And it says, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night shall not cease. So this is talking about the law of seed time and harvest, which is in effect as long as the earth remains. It's something God has put into effect, right? And God says, as long as we sow, we will reap a harvest. And this is Mike Murdoch's testimony. He said he was preaching for Pastor Rod Parsley, and Mike had just received an $8,500 royalty check on songs he'd written. He's written some songs for the, Christian songs, and he'd received this $8,500 check. And he said he was sitting in, he said it was all he had. It was all he had, and he had the check in his bag. And he was really happy about it. And he said he was sitting in the service, and he felt the Holy Spirit whisper to him, how would you like to explore and experiment the art of sowing and reaping? And he says he knows the voice of the Holy Spirit. And so he turned to Rod Parsley and his wife, and he said, Pastor, is your house paid off? And he said, no, it's not. So he said, well, I want to sow an $8,500 seed into you paying your house off. And then Mike got up and he asked if anyone else wanted to join him doing it. And he said, so he did this in the service. He said, well, on the way to the hotel, he was in total shock. He was like, what did I just do? That was everything I had. That was my entire savings account. What did I do? And he said, in fact, for a week, he probably didn't speak more than like five paragraphs. He just remained in shock. He's like, I really did something crazy there. And then he said he was praying, and he said to the Lord, Lord, I thought I heard your voice. And if I made a mistake, I'm sorry. And the Lord said to him, anything you do in an attempt to obey me will never go unrewarded. I mean, isn't that a powerful statement? Anything you do for me that in an attempt to obey me will never go unrewarded. So Mike said that he was in prayer one day at like 7:15 a.m. and the Lord gave him an idea. And so he started writing it down. And then he said afterwards he called a friend of his and he told him what his idea was. And his friend said, that sounds like something that would really work. And he said, let me contact Walmart and see if they'd be interested in your idea. So he contacted Walmart and Kmart and Hallmark. And they all loved his idea. So fast forward a little bit, Mike said the first check that came in from that idea bought him a Rolls Royce cash. He said, a friend came by and said, well, I don't even like a Rolls Royce. He said, well, that's why it's parked in my garage and not in yours, right? We've all got opinions about what everybody else should or shouldn't have. He can do what he wants. It's his money, right? And so he said the second check that came in built him a gymnasium with three apartments attached to it. He said he's even had the Boston Celtics come and play on his court. I mean, you're talking about a blessing. And he said the Lord used one $8,500 seed sown in obedience to produce a lifetime of blessing. Now, I don't know about you. You know, people have all kinds of reaction to something like that. I get inspired. You know what it inspires me? That I want to hear the Holy Spirit and I want to obey. And I want to see God multiply and do what His Word says. It is the law of seed time and harvest. That means that when you sow, when God whispers to you to sow, He has your harvest in mind. Amen. And so I hope you feel inspired by that. Thank you to the faithful tithers and givers in our church. We love you. We appreciate you. To those that give online, thank you so much. We have people that give online that are not even members of our church, just online viewers. And we're so thankful for what you do financially for this ministry. We appreciate it. And so right now where you're sitting, there are envelopes in the seat backs. And there are various ways to give. Included in that is Zelle, which is also under the church email address. So all of those ways are secure. If you want to participate in giving today, we appreciate it. And I'm going to pray over the givers and the tithers. I want to see some harvest. How about you? Father, we thank you for your word. I thank you that your word says that your name, one of your names, is Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord our provider. We recognize you as our provider. Another name for you in the word, Father, is El Shaddai, which is the God who is more than enough. So, Father, I pray over these people. I pray over every tither, every giver, as you speak to them, as they honor you, as they obey you, as they give. I thank you that you show yourself as their provider. That you open the windows of heaven above them as you promised in your word, which we rely on, which we walk on, which we trust you. Father, I thank you that there's more than enough. I thank you for supernatural God-given ideas that drop into the hearts of your people, into the hearts of faithful men and women who will give into the kingdom of God. We thank you for an increase. I pray for a multiplication to take place. Not just let's just add a little bit here and add a little bit there. Let's multiply. Father, we want to see multiplication in people's lives. In Jesus' name, amen. If you agree, say amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, the ushers are going to go ahead and receive the offering. And I want to remind you of the four main purposes of our church. The first one is that you would know God, that you would find freedom, that you would discover your purpose, and that you would make a difference with your life. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Pastor Steve.
Praise the Lord. Well, we got a theme going on here today. Can anyone pick up on what it is? All the songs we sang, the Waymaker, He will make a way. And then my wife, very often the Lord uses her like that, where she had... That was a word of prophecy inspired from the Holy Spirit, speaking about that path, that when you walk on the path, follow God's word. And I'm going to continue that this morning. I'm going to be preaching about the Waymaker. Are you ready for God's word today? Tell your neighbor, I'm glad you're here. Tell him you're looking good. You're good looking. Father, we thank you that you truly are the Waymaker. That you make a way where there doesn't seem to be a way, where we don't see a way. Father, we look to you. We trust in you no matter what. No matter what, Lord, we will trust you. We will praise you. We will follow you. I thank you, Father, today that you anoint me to speak your word. I thank you that you carry your word by your anointing to every heart, and that you cause our faith to rise up, Lord. I thank you that, Lord, you bring revelation to every mind, Father, that we begin to see things differently. We begin to look through the lens of your word, Father, and we begin to just trust you no matter what. Father, thank you today for everything that will be said and done. We give you alone the praise, the glory, the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you to our worship team who do a wonderful job every week after week after week. Give them a big round of applause. Let them know we appreciate them. Amen. So today I want to speak to you about the Waymaker. And I'm going to start out here in Isaiah chapter 43. We're going to keep coming back to this chapter, look at various verses. But starting with verse number 15, it says, I am the Lord your God, the Creator. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea and a path through the mighty waters. Now, God introduces himself as the Waymaker, that he will make a way where there doesn't seem to be a way. Despite that difficulty, despite how impossible it may look, God is a God who makes a way. Can you say amen? I don't know what you are facing today, but I'm here to tell you that God has a way out for you. And if you leave here today stronger in your faith that God will make a way, then my mission has been accomplished today. The book of Isaiah has the most prophetic passages of any book in the Bible. And in many of the prophetic passages in Isaiah, he foresaw a time of great difficulty for Israel, a time when they would be captive to their enemies, a time when they would be taken from their homeland and exiled in foreign countries. And we see, historically, we see the fulfillment of such passages in the Babylonian exile in 586 BC, with their home and their temple destroyed. As the years in exile became decades, the great question that burned in the hearts of the people of Israel was, is this situation hopeless? Is there a way out of this difficult time? Is there a way home? They spent, I think, 70 years in captivity. And the question was, is there any way out? Isaiah is speaking to a people who feel completely hopeless, whose faith was reaching the breaking point. Then God stepped in and spoke. And as he did, it was like he had to reintroduce himself to them all over again and remind them once again of who he is and of his character. And he starts out in verse 15 by saying, I am the Lord. And if you read it in the Passion Translation, it says, I am Yahweh, your Holy One, your King, the Creator of Israel. Now, he reminds them that he is Yahweh. Yahweh is the great I Am, the self-existent, ever-present, active God. The English translation of the word Yahweh is translated as Lord. You'll see the word Lord with capital L-O-R-D in many scriptures in the Old Testament. That is telling you that the original Hebrew is Yahweh. And it was first used, the word Yahweh, the name Yahweh, was used when God spoke to Moses out of the burning bush and told him to lead the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt. And Moses said, "Who will I say has sent me?" And God said, "Yahweh, Lord, tell them I am that I am." You see, the name Yahweh and the name I am are used interchangeably in Exodus chapter 3, which tells us that I am is one way to translate Yahweh. It means that He is everything you need. You need health, I am healing. You need provision, I am your provider. You need deliverance, I am your deliverer. You need protection, I am your protector. You need strength, I am your strength. I am everything that you need. And maybe you feel like those Israelites. Maybe it seems hopeless. Maybe you've taken your eyes off the Lord, and instead you're looking and focusing on your difficulty, on the situation. Maybe the difficulty of what you face has clouded out the thoughts of who God is and that He is for you. Maybe you've forgotten that the one that is on your side is the eternal, all-powerful, ever-present God, the one who makes a way where there doesn't seem to be a way. Amen. Israel sure had forgotten that. And maybe you have as well. Unfortunately, it's something that our nature finds it easy to do, our humanity. So what else did God remind them of in this introduction about Himself? He reminded them that He is the Lord, He is Yahweh, He's the I Am, He's the Creator of Israel. That God's people didn't come about by accident. It was through the plan and the purpose of God. So the Lord is saying to them, I created you. You are mine. Do you really think that I'm going to forget you, that I'm going to let you go? And finally, God reminds them that He is their King with the capital K. Now, Israel is in exile, and they're suffering under the king of Babylon. But they were not to fear this earthly king, because the real king was still overlooking everything that was taking place, and the real king was with them and for them. Amen? And in verse 16, God reminds these people that He makes a way through the sea. What do you think God was doing? Here, you see, what does the word sea have to do with their current predicament? God is reminding them of their past, and of particularly of a time when it seemed like there was no way forward. It was during the time of the Exodus from Egypt, when the Israelites faced certain death. I mean, the army of the Egyptian army were pursuing them. They came to the Red Sea. They had the Red Sea in front of them, and the Egyptian army, the most powerful, well-trained, well-equipped army in the world, and they were slaves. They had no weapons. It looked like there was no way out, no way back, no way forward. But let me tell you, God does what He does best. He did the impossible. He made a way where there was no way in the natural. Can you say amen, somebody? In Exodus 14, verse 13, Moses told the people, "Fear not." Tell your neighbor, "Fear not. Stand still. Stand firm. Stand confident. Be undismayed and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will work for you today. For the Egyptians that you've seen today, you will see them never again. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace and remain at rest." God is going to fight this battle. All you're going to do is hold your peace. Just remain at rest. In fact, the Message Bible says God will fight the battle for you, and you keep your mouth shut. Because let me tell you, you've got to be careful what comes out of your mouth when you are facing a major challenge, a giant. You don't know, there seems to be no way out. That's the time when you've got to be praising God, standing on His Word, speaking His promises, speaking words of faith. Amen. And He'll fight your battle. All you got to do is is remain at rest. You see, faith is a rest. When I'm in faith and trusting God, I'm at rest. If I'm fearful, then I'm not in faith. God said, just remain at rest. Just keep your mouths closed. Just don't panic. Just hold your peace. I'm going to fight this battle. And the Bible says in verse 21 of Exodus chapter 14 that Moses stretched his rod over the sea. And the Lord opened a path through the sea with walls of water on each side. And a strong east wind blew all that night, drying the sea bottom. So the people of Israel walked through the sea on dry ground. This is what God wanted to remind them. He wanted to remind the people of Israel, remember in the days of Isaiah that He is still the God who makes a way through where there seems to be no way. Amen. You know, it's clear to me that you can be following the God-designed plan for your life, and it can lead you straight to mighty waters. All of us will face the waters at some stage. In fact, in the earlier verses, going back to Isaiah 43, if you read the earlier verses, verse 1 to 3, it says, "But now, O Jacob, listen to the Lord who created you, O Israel, the one who formed you." He says, "Do not be afraid." The first key when you face a challenge is don't be afraid. "For I have ransomed you, I have called you by name, you are mine. When you go through the deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." Amen. Now notice it doesn't say if you pass through the waters. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. But praise God, He adds, "I will be with you." And that's what makes all the difference. In fact, Psalm 66 verse 12, I love, it says, "We went through the fire and the flood, but you brought us to a place of great abundance." Say, God is bringing me to a place of great abundance. And the Passion Translation says, "We've passed through the fire and the flood, yet in the end, you always bring us out better than we were before, saturated with your goodness." You might go through the fire. You might go through the flood. But let me tell you, if you will stay on God's path, keep your eyes on Him, you will come out better than what you were before. God will take what was meant for your harm, and it'll turn it around, and He'll make it for your good. Thank God that our God is able to make a way where no way naturally exists. He makes a way through. You know, that has positive and negative connotations to it. Because let's start out with the negative. The negative is this word "through." It says we have to go through. Now, I don't know about you, but I would have preferred some other words like "go around," "go over." But it says, it doesn't say He makes a way around the difficulty. It doesn't say He makes a way over the sea. It says He makes a way through the sea. Now, you know, we sit here and we think about that great miracle parting the Red Sea. You've got to try and imagine, like, if you were there. You've got this, can you imagine the sea opens up and it's standing like walls of water and you got to walk through? I'm like, that could collapse at any moment. How many of you know it took some faith to walk through that Red Sea? Can you say amen? Man, to go around the problem, that sounds better. At least that gives the impression that we lifted above it. We don't really experience any trouble. I would have preferred that, but God said, when you go through the fire, when you go through the flood, when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the positive aspect of go through is that we get through. That period of difficulty is not forever. Don't set up camp in the valley. Don't set up camp in the middle of the waters, thinking like that is your lot in life for all time. No, 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 no. Israel had to walk through the waters, but they kept on walking. They kept on progressing forward. And when the mighty waters arise in your life, you too, you will get through it, because God is the one who gets you through. And not only is God with you, but God goes before you. That's what it says in Isaiah 45, verse 2. I will go before you, and I will make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron. And the Passion Bible says, I will march in front of you and level every obstacle. Say, thank you, Lord, that you go before me and you level every obstacle. See, like we sang the song today, Not Afraid. When I walk through the waters, I won't be overcome. When I go through the rivers, I will not be drowned. My God will make a way, so I am not afraid. Before me, behind me, always beside me, no shadow, no valley where you can't find me. I am not afraid. Say, I am not afraid. No matter what comes against me, say, God is with me. He is for me, and He goes before me. I want to tell you, no matter what you are facing in your life, I want to tell you this is a new day. The God who spoke the world into existence is breaking chains in your life. He is going before you. He's breaking chains of defeat, chains of mediocrity, chains of depression, chains of lack. He is going before you. It's not going to be like the way it used to be. I declare you stepping into a new season in your life. You're going to have strength that you never had before. Things are going to fall into place for you. You're not going to have to fight. God is cutting the bars of iron for you. He's going before you. That means He's going to make things happen that you couldn't make happen. You didn't have the talent to do it on your own. You didn't have the connections. You didn't have the resources. The odds were against you. But suddenly, things are going to just turn around for you. Supernaturally, suddenly, you're going to step into a new level in your life. Suddenly, you're going to break that addiction you've been struggling with. How could it be? The God who goes before you is breaking chains and cutting through bars of iron. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 30, it says, the Lord your God who goes before you, He will fight for you. He will fight for you according to all that He did for you in Egypt before your eyes and in the wilderness where you saw how the Lord your God carried you as a man carries his son in all the way that you went until you came unto this place. He said God went before them and He carried them. The Message Bible says it like this. God, your God, is leading the way. He's fighting for you. You saw with your own eyes what He did for you in Egypt. You saw what He did in the wilderness. How God, your God, carried you as a father carries his child, carried you the whole way until you arrived here. But now that you're here, you won't trust God, your God, the same God who goes ahead of you in your travels to scout out a place, to pitch camp, a fire by night and a cloud by day to show you the way to go. Let me tell you, just like God went before the Israelites and led them and fought their battles and took care of them in that wilderness for 40 years, so too God goes before you, God fights for you, and God takes care of you. Can you say amen if you believe that? Let me tell you, just like God did for King Jehoshaphat, you know the story. The tribe of Judah, they were attacked by three armies. It looked hopeless. They were outnumbered. King Jehoshaphat was terrified, the Bible says. So what did they do? All the people of Judah gathered in Jerusalem, and they came to pray. They came to seek God. They came to ask Him for help, because there was no way out. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 12, look what happened. They prayed. They said, oh, our God, won't you stop them? We are powerless against this mighty army that is about to attack us. We do not know what to do, but we are looking to you for help. Have you ever been in a situation in your life where you didn't know what to do? I've been there many times. And you know what I do? I just keep my eyes looking to God. I'm not going to focus and magnify the problem. I'm going to keep magnifying God and focusing on Him. And I'm looking, Lord, I don't know what to do, but I'm looking to you. The Spirit of God came upon a young man by the name of Jahaziel, and he began to prophesy. In verse 15, he said, listen, all you people of Judea and Jerusalem. Listen, King Jehoshaphat. This is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Tell your neighbor, don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. God's for you. He's with you. He's going before you. Amen. Do not be discouraged, he said, by this mighty army, for the battle is not yours but God's. Say, the battle's not mine. The battle is God's. God will fight your battles. I said, God will fight your battles. He will be your vindicator. He will make your wrongs right. If you will just trust Him and just hold your peace, just remain at rest, just don't fear, don't worry, don't panic, don't begin to speak out negatively. If you will just keep your eyes on the Lord and keep trusting Him and keep praising Him, then God will go before you and He will fight that battle for you. And He ain't lost one fight yet. What did they do? The Bible says they put the singers, the musicians, out in the front of the army, and they went into battle singing, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good, and His mercy endures forever. They were marching into battle singing, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good, His mercy endures forever. And the Bible says the moment they began to praise, the Lord caused confusion to come on their enemy, and their enemy began to turn and fight one another. Their enemies turned on each other, they were confused, and they totally killed themselves while the people of Judah watched as they annihilated themselves. God gave them a mighty victory. He fought that fight. And what did they do? They went into battle praising God. Let me tell you, when you face a situation and you don't know what to do, what my recommendation is, look to the Lord, keep your eyes on Him, and keep on giving God praise, man, marching into battle. The Lord is fighting for me, and keep on giving Him praise. Hold your peace. Don't be afraid. Don't speak negative. Keep trusting Him. In Joshua chapter 24, the Israelites, they were up against seven nations who were bigger than them, were stronger than them. The Israelites on their own didn't have a chance. They could have retreated. They could have thought, man, it's not meant to be. We're never going to take this promised land. There was no way in the natural, but God is the way maker. And you know what He said to them? He said to them in Deuteronomy chapter 9, you are to cross over the Jordan today and go and dispossess nations greater and mightier than yourself, cities great and fortified up to heaven, a people great and tall, the descendants of the Anakim, whom you know and of whom you've heard it was said, who can stand before the descendants of Anak? Therefore, understand today that the Lord your God is He who goes before you as a consuming fire. He will destroy them and bring them down before you, so you shall drive them out and destroy them quickly, as the Lord has said to you. Now, how did God get rid of these seven powerful nations? How did God defeat these seven nations? Did He send in the tanks, the Navy SEAL teams, the artillery? Did He do that? Did he call angels down from heaven? No. Do you know what God did? He sent an insect. He sent hornets ahead of them, and they didn't even have to fight. In Joshua 24, verse 12, it says, I sent the hornet ahead of you, which drove them out before you. Also, the two Amorite kings, you did not do it with your own sword and bow. So I gave you a land of which you did not toil, and cities that you did not build. And you live in them, and you eat from vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant. So you may not see how your situation can work out, but don't worry. God's got plenty of insects. God has got ways to deliver you that you never even thought about. I was reading the scripture the other day in Psalm 130. This is such a great scripture from the Passion Bible. Look what it says. This is why I wait upon you, expecting your breakthrough, for your word brings me hope. I long for you more than any watchman would long for the morning light. I will watch and wait for you, O God, throughout the night. O Israel, keep hoping, keep trusting, keep waiting on the Lord, for he is tender-hearted, kind, and forgiving, and he has 1,000 ways to set you free. Let me tell you, God doesn't have just one way to deliver you. You may not see a way. He got 1,000 ways to set you free. He got 1,000 ways to provide for you. Don't limit him. God may not do it in the traditional way. Quit trying to figure everything out, man, and just trust him. You may be in the fire. You may be going through some deep waters. But if you'll hold your peace, if you'll stay calm, if you'll stay at rest, if you'll keep giving God praise, he'll make a way for you. Let me tell you, God's favor is headed your way. Look at the next verse of Isaiah 43, verse 18. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Right after saying that God will make a way, God tells them to forget the former things, not to dwell on the past. Now, why would God say that, especially after just reminding them of a past event of how he made a way through the sea? Because, see, God wants us to remember the past so we can bring to mind the previous deliverances and victories and learn from our former mistakes. But, you see, God doesn't want us to dwell on the mistakes and on the defeats of the past. He wants us to forget that, but he wants us to recall the things that he's done for us. David said in Psalm 77, David said, I recall the many miracles that he did for me so long ago. Those wonderful deeds are constantly in my thoughts. I cannot stop thinking about them. Oh God, your ways are holy. Where is there any other as mighty as you? You are the God of miracles and wonders, and you still demonstrate your awesome power. David is thinking about the things that God had done in his past, and we need to remember the things that God has done. When Isaiah says, don't remember the former things, forget about them, why is that? You see, I believe that there is a tendency to think of the Lord as the God who was and as the God who will be, but not as the God who is right now. We remember the great things that God has done, and we rejoice in them, and we look forward to what God has promised and what he will do in the future. But what about right now? What about the great I am, the God of the present tense? We mustn't just think about what God has done and about what God will do, but we need to be believing what God is doing right now in my life. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Malachi 3 verse 6 says, I am the Lord, I do not change. See, God wanted them to see him as the waymaker now, not yesterday, not 1,000 years ago, not tomorrow, today. He was telling them he's going to do something amazing and something new in their day. No longer would they have to just look back to the stories they'd heard from their youth of God's deliverance during the Exodus from Egypt. No, you see, they were going to experience something amazing themselves. God would make a way so they could return from their exile and provide streams in the desert, because God is alive and interested in the lives of his people then and now. Isaiah goes on to say in Isaiah 43:21 that they may proclaim my praise. You see, God makes a way so that his people can proclaim his praise. You may be in a place right now where you see mighty waters rising around you. The trials and the difficulties may be coming against you. It may seem like there's no way out. And if that is so, I want you to remember that God is the one who makes a way so that you can proclaim his praise. As you trust him to make a way again, God, the way maker, the Bible is full of accounts where God made a way, where there would seem to be no way. God made a way for Daniel out of that lion's den. You know the story. Daniel was one of those who were taken captive in Babylon, and God gave Daniel favor. He had an excellent spirit, and he distinguished himself, and he was promoted in government. In fact, King Darius was thinking about putting Daniel in charge of his entire kingdom. And the other government officials, they got jealous, and they looked for a way to try and get rid of Daniel. They knew that Daniel was devoted to his God and that he prayed 3 times every day, morning, afternoon, and evening. So they convinced the king to make a law that for 30 days, anyone who prays to anyone other than the king would be thrown into a den of lions. Now, the king signed the law, and when Daniel heard about the law, guess what he did? When Daniel heard about the law, you cannot pray to any god except the king for 30 days, or you're going to be thrown into a den of lions. Guess what Daniel did? He went home, opened up his upstairs bedroom windows, and knelt down and prayed 3 times a day, just like normal. He never changed a thing. The other government officials, they went to his house, and they found him praying. And so they went and told the king. Now, the king was angry with himself for signing the law, and he tried to find a way to get Daniel out of it, but he couldn't break the law that he'd made. So he gave orders for Daniel to be arrested and thrown into a lion's den. And the king said to Daniel, "May your God, whom you've served so faithfully, may he deliver you and may your God rescue you." The king is on Daniel's side. They placed a big stone at the entrance to the lion's den so no one could go and rescue Daniel. And that night, the king couldn't even sleep. The king spent the night fasting for Daniel. And early the next morning, the king hurried down to the lion's den, and he cried out, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve so faithfully, been able to deliver you?" And look what happened in Daniel chapter 6. Daniel answered, "Long live the king. My God sent his angel to shut the lion's mouths so that they would not hurt me. For I have been found innocent in his sight, and I have not wronged you, your majesty." The king was overjoyed. He ordered that Daniel be lifted from the den. Not a scratch was found on him, for he had trusted in his God. Can you say amen? Amen. The king had the men who arrested Daniel. He had them arrested, and he had them thrown into the lion's den. And the Bible says that the lions leapt on them and tore them to pieces before they hit the floor of the lion's den. And the king made a new decree in Daniel 6:26. He said, "I decree that everyone shall tremble and fear before the God of Daniel in every part of my kingdom, for his God is the living, unchanging God, whose kingdom shall never be destroyed and whose power shall never end. He delivers his people preserving them from harm. He does great miracles in heaven and earth. It is He who delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. Amen. Our God is a way maker. He made a way of escape for Daniel. God made a way of escape for three teenagers named Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were friends of Daniel. They were also taken captive in Babylon by King Nebuchadnezzar. And King Nebuchadnezzar was the king before Darius, and he made a 90-foot gold statue of himself. And he commanded that everyone in his kingdom had to bow down and worship the gold statue he made of himself. And anyone who refused to bow down and worship the statue would be thrown into a burning fiery furnace. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to bow down to the statue. The reason is because God said in Leviticus 26:1, don't make idols for yourselves. Don't set up an image or a sacred pillar for yourselves, and don't place a carved stone in your land that you can bow down to in worship. I am the Lord your God. God told them, you don't bow down to any statue. I am the Lord your God. And King Nebuchadnezzar, man, he flew into a rage when he heard about this. He ordered them to bring Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego before him. And in Daniel 3:15, he said, I'll give you one more chance to bow down and worship the statue I've made when you hear the sound of the musical instruments. But if you refuse, you will be thrown immediately into the blazing furnace. And then what God will be able to rescue you from my power? Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, they replied, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. If we are thrown into this blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. He will rescue us, but even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear. We will never serve your gods. We will never worship the gold statue you've set up. The king was so furious, he commanded them to heat the furnace 7 times hotter than normal. And he had them bound up and tied and thrown into the burning fiery furnace. The furnace was so hot that the soldiers who threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the furnace, those soldiers were burned up and killed by the fire. But the Bible says suddenly the king jumped up in amazement. Look what he said in Daniel 3:24. The king said, did we not cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire? They said, yes, king. He said, look, I see 4 men. They are loose. They're walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Didn't we throw 3 men? Weren't they bound up? Now there's 4 men, and they're walking around, and they're not hurt. And the fourth man, he looks like the Son of God. Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, and he spoke, and he said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God. He changed his tune. Servants of the Most High God, come out and come here. And then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they came from the midst of the fire. And the satraps and the administrators, the governors, the king's counselors, they gathered together and they saw these men on whose bodies the fire had no power. The hair of their head was not singed. Their garments were not affected. And the smell of fire was not even on them. Nebuchadnezzar said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him. And they have frustrated the king's word and not yielded their bodies that they should serve. They should not serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, he said, I make a decree that any people, any nation, any language which speaks anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces and their houses made an ash heap, because there is no other God who can deliver like this. There's no other God who can deliver like this. And then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Let me tell you, no God delivers like our God. He is the waymaker. Not a hair on their head was singed. Their clothing wasn't damaged. They came out without the smell of smoke. God did not deliver them from the fire, but He protected them through the fire. And you know what I want to know? Who was that fourth man who was in the burning fiery furnace? Who was he? You can see him all throughout the Bible, in every book of the Bible. Who was that fourth man in the burning fiery furnace? In Genesis, he is the seed of woman. In Exodus, he's the Passover lamb. In Leviticus, he's the high priest. In Numbers, he's the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. In Deuteronomy, he's the prophet like Moses. In Joshua, he's the captain of the army of the Lord. In Judges, he's the judge and lawgiver. In Ruth, he's my kinsman and redeemer. In Samuel, he is the prophet of the Lord. In 1 and 2 Kings, he's a mighty king. In Chronicles, he's the Shekinah glory filling the temple. In Ezra, he's the faithful scribe. In Nehemiah, he's the rebuilder of the broken walls of life. In Esther, he's the queenly figure making intercession for people that she loves. Who was that fourth man in the burning fiery furnace? In Job, he's the ever-living redeemer. In Psalms, he's the shepherd that restores my soul. In Proverbs, he's eternal wisdom. In Ecclesiastes, he's eternal life. In the Song of Solomon, he's my lover and my bridegroom, the lily of the valley, the rose of Sharon, the fairest of 10,000. In Isaiah, he's the Prince of Peace, the Lamb wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. Who was this fourth man in the burning fiery furnace? In Jeremiah, he's the righteous branch. In Lamentations, he's the weeping prophet. In Ezekiel, he's the wonderful four-faced man. In Daniel, he's the fourth man in the burning fiery furnace. In Hosea, he's the faithful husband. In Joel, he's the baptizer with the Holy Ghost. In Amos, he's our burden bearer. In Obadiah, he's the mighty one who saves. In Jonah, he is the forgiving God of another chance. In Micah, he's the messenger with beautiful feet. In Nahum, he's the avenger of God's elect. In Habakkuk, he's the evangelist crying for revival. In Haggai, he's the cleansing fountain open in the house of David. In Zechariah, he's the pierced son. In Malachi, he's the son of righteousness with healing in his wings. Who was that fourth man in the burning fiery furnace? In Matthew, he's the Messiah. In Mark, he's the wonder worker. In Luke, he's the son of man. In Acts and John, he's the son of God. In Acts, he is the giver of the Holy Ghost. In Romans, he's the justifier. In Corinthians, he's the sanctifier. In Galatians, he's the redeemer from the curse of the law. In Ephesians, he's the Christ of unsearchable riches. In Philippians, he's the God who supplies all my needs. In Colossians, he's the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And in Thessalonians, he's our soon and coming King. In Timothy, he's the mediator between God and man. In Titus, he's the faithful pastor. Who is the fourth man in the burning fiery furnace? In Philemon, he's the friend who sticks closer than a brother. In Hebrews, he's the blood of the everlasting covenant. In James, he's our great physician. In Peter, he's the chief shepherd. In 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, he is everlasting love. In Jude, he's the Lord coming with 10,000 angels. And in Revelation, he's the King of kings and he is the Lord of lords. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Who was that fourth man in the burning fiery furnace? Let me tell you who he is. He's the father to the orphan, the husband to the widow, the bright morning star, the brightness of God's glory, the express image of the person of God. He is the King of glory, the pearl of great price, the rock in a weary land, the cup that runs over, the Prince of Peace, the rod that comforts. He's the government of life. He is the miracle worker. He's the one who raised the dead. He's the one who heals the sick. He makes the blind to see. He makes the lame to walk. He's the one who walks walks on the water. He calms the seas. He feeds the multitudes. He is Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of the living God. That's who that fourth man in the burning fiery furnace was. Amen. He's the way maker. He is the way maker. Jesus said in John 14, I am the way, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Can you say amen, somebody? Hallelujah. Amen. Say, he's the way maker. He's the fourth man in the burning fiery furnace. He's always with me. Amen. Hallelujah. Sit down for a minute if you can. Praise the Lord. Let me tell you, Jesus is the way. Not only is he the way to God, not only is he the only way to be made right with God, not only is he the Savior, not only is he the one who can forgive you, give you righteousness, not only is he the only way to heaven, but he is also the way maker for every situation that you face in your life. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He is the faithful one. When you call on him, when you trust in him, he will save you. He will deliver you. That's what the Bible says. Romans 10:13, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, sometimes we think that verse is just talking about salvation, and thank God for salvation. But the word saved is the Greek word sozo, and it literally means to save, to deliver, to rescue from danger or destruction or injury or peril, to heal, to make well, to protect, to preserve, to make whole, to do well. When the Bible talks about call on the Lord and you shall be saved, that's not just talking about salvation. That means whatever you may face, man, he is the way. If you call on him, he's your healer, your provider, your protector, your deliverer. Can you say amen, somebody? In fact, the Passion Bible says everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be rescued and experience new life. I can't tell you how many times the Lord has rescued me. I can't tell you how many times I faced what looked like there's no way out. And I called on the Lord, and he made a way, and he took what the enemy meant for my harm, and he used it for my good. I believe God is making all things work together for our good. The Message translation of Romans 10:13 says, everyone who calls help God gets help. All you got to do is, help, Lord. Help me, Lord. I'm calling on you. And he'll answer you. Jesus said in John 10, verse 10, the thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life, and they may have it more abundantly. Jesus said, I came to give you abundant life. The Passion Translation says, I've come to give you everything in abundance, more than you expect, life in its fullness until you overflow. The Amplified Bible said, I have come that you might have and enjoy life and have it in abundance until it overflows. Let me tell you, Jesus came to the earth to give you and me abundant life. We are not just saved from our sins and saved from hell and saved from punishment. Thank God for that. That is the most important. But Jesus came to bring you abundant life. He came to deliver you. He came to protect you. He came to provide for you. He came to fight for you. In this world right now where you are, whatever you may be facing, it may look impossible. You say, Pastor Steve, I don't see a way out. That's okay. You don't have to see a way. He is the way maker. You just got to look to him. You just got to keep trusting him. You just got to keep at peace. Hold your peace. Remain at rest. Keep giving him praise. God will turn it around. And I'm gonna close with this. Man, I love this scripture. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. Listen how powerful this is. From the Passion Translation. It says, we all experience times of testing, which is normal for every human being. But God will be faithful to you. He will screen and filter the severity, the nature, and the timing of every test or trial that you face so you can bear it. And each test Each test is an opportunity to trust Him more. For along with every trial, God has provided you a way of escape that will bring you out of it victoriously. With every trial, with every test, God has provided a way for you to come out of it victoriously. Say, I'm coming out of this. Tell your neighbor, I'm coming out of this. Tell them, God's making a way for me. I'm coming out of this victoriously. Tell them, I'm coming out of this better than ever. I'm coming out into a place of great abundance. If you will trust Him, if you will follow Him, if you will not fear, refuse to worry, refuse to be discouraged, refuse to panic, if you will hold your peace, if you will remain at rest, if you will just keep giving God praise, let me tell you, God will deliver you. He will fight for you. He will heal you. He will provide for you. He will protect you. He is the way maker. Can you say amen, somebody? I declare that Jesus is your way maker today. I declare that He is making a way for you where there seems to be no way. If you will just stand firm and confident and unafraid, if you will trust God, follow His path, hold your peace, stay calm, refuse to worry, keep giving God praise no matter how it looks, then let me tell you, God is going before you. Sometimes you can't see it. Sometimes you can't feel it, but He's at work even when you can't see it. Let me tell you, He's going before you. He's leveling the obstacles. He's leveling the mountains. He is fighting for you. He is going to bring you through that difficulty into a better place. In the end, you're going to come out better than ever, saturated with the goodness of God. God is bringing you out of lack into abundance. He's bringing you out of sickness into health. He's bringing you out of bondage into freedom. God will bring you out victoriously. If you believe that today, give the Lord a big round of praise. Put your hand together. Give Him a shout. Come on, if you believe that God is making a way for you, give Him praise. Give Him praise. Give Him praise today. He will make a way. He is making a way. Amen. I don't know about you, but I preached myself happy today. It happened again. I'm just telling you what the Word of God says. And it is encouraging. It's as encouraging for me as it is for you. I'm preaching to me too, man. I'm facing certain things. Let me tell you, when you step out to live for God and obey God, you become a target. And the enemy doesn't just sit back and leave you alone. The enemy tries to discourage you. But I'm facing certain things, but I want you to know God is making a way. God is taking everything that enemy meant for my harm, and He's using it for my good. We're coming out of this better than ever before. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise the Lord. You get something out of this today? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Sorry we get so excited. Sorry, not sorry, we get so excited. Amen. Man, if they can get excited when someone scored a touchdown at a football game, they get up and shout and have a party. We can get excited for our God who makes a way for us. Our God, He made the touchdown. Our God, He gave us the victory. We can get excited for Him, man. We can give Him praise. We can lift our voice and give Him praise. Amen. Tell your neighbor, I'm glad I came to church today. God's making a way for me. Close your eyes for a moment. I want to pray for you. Close your eyes if you would. Father, I thank You for everyone here today, and for everyone who's watching this, whatever they're facing, Lord. I thank You that You're making a way for them, that You're fighting their battles for them, that You're providing for them, that You are delivering them, Thank you, Lord, that you're healing them, setting them free. We give you the praise, Lord. Our eyes are on you. Listen, while your head is bowed, while your eyes closed, I want to pray right now. If there's anyone here this morning, if you're not sure where you stand with God today, if you are not sure that all is well between you and the Lord, let me ask you this question. If you were to die today, can you say you know for certain, you know without any doubt that you would go to heaven? Would you have to be honest? Say, Pastor Steve, if I died today, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such a church. Listen, I'm not asking you if you belong to a church. I'm not even asking you if you believe in God, because the Bible says even the demons believe in God and tremble. What I am asking you is, are you absolutely sure that if you died today, you know for sure that you would go to heaven? Because let me tell you, the good news is you can know that for sure. You can know that for certain. You can walk out of here today and you can know that all is right, all is well with you and the Lord. You can walk out of here today knowing that when you die, heaven is where you're going to spend eternity. Let me tell you, heaven is a real place. There is a heaven that awaits us. And there is a hell. Hell is real. There's a hell to shun and there's a heaven to gain. And I want to pray right now for anyone who's here this morning. You say, Pastor Steve, pray for me. I want to make sure that all is well, all is right between me and God. I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Won't you pray for me? Listen, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand up right where you're sitting. This is between you and God. If you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me, include me in that prayer that you're about to pray. I want you quickly, just lift your hand up high right now. Just raise it up high. I'm looking for hands. If your hand is raised, you are included in this prayer this morning. Just lift it up high. Pray for me, Pastor Steve. Thank you. Lift it up high. Pray for me. Thank you. Just lift up. There you go. Thank you. Yes. Praise God. I want everyone who lifted your hand, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. The scripture says in Romans 10, in verse 9, it's on the screen, if you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's how you become a child of God. That's how you go to heaven. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. If you will declare Jesus is Lord and believe God raised him from the dead, the Bible says you'll be saved. So we're going to do that right now. If you lifted your hand, if you're watching this online, say this prayer. In fact, everybody, say this prayer together with them. Say this. Say, dear God, I thank you that you love me so much. You sent your son, the Lord Jesus, to come to this earth for me, to die on a cross for me, to take my sin and my punishment. So they say, Lord, I believe that Jesus has been raised from the dead and he is alive. And say, Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart, forgive me of my sins. I confess, Jesus, you are Lord of my life. I surrender my life to you. From today, I'm going to live for you, Lord. Say this, say, I thank you. Because I have received you, I am now saved. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. God, you are my very own father. I am your very own child. Heaven is my home, and my name is written down in your book of life. Thank you, Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen and amen. Praise God. If you raised your hand, We want to congratulate you. Best decision you ever made in your life. We want to invite you, encourage you, come back and join us next Sunday. Keep growing in your faith. We have a gift we want to give you. So if you lifted your hand, if you could just remain in your seat for a couple of minutes when we close, we want to give you a gift before you go. I want to thank everyone who invited and brought someone to church today. Do you know the way that our church grows is for you to bring someone with you? I said, the way that our church grows How many of you want to see our church grow? What we should desire that. Why? Because Jesus said, go make disciples, go and win lost people. We want to see people coming to the Lord all the time, every week. And the way that happens is you got to invite someone. You got to bring someone. The more people you bring, the more people will be saved. Amen. So praise the Lord. I'm so glad you're here today. I just want to mention every Thursday we pray. We have a prayer meeting at 7 p.m. We had a phenomenal time. A phenomenal time. This wasn't it? My gosh, the Holy Spirit just fell on us like that. And so come join us for prayer at 7 p.m. We don't need to. Do you have anything for? Come and do that. Come and do that. Come pray for us. Can we have the young people come? We want to pray for you. They're going on the youth conference, the fire conference at Rodney Howe Brown's church, the River Church coming up. They have 3,000 young people registered for the conference. 3,000 young people are registered. And we've got a whole group of people, young people. I don't know if they're all here, but come and stand here at the front, right at the front, right over here. Come on, we're going to pray for them. They're going to the youth conference. We believe their lives are going to be touched and that they're never going to be the same. Come on, Abel. You want to pray?
All right, would you guys just mind stretching your hands towards in faith? Father, we thank you for who you are, Lord. We thank you that you've called us to be witnesses, Lord. You called us to carry the good news. I just lift these kids up to you. I lift these youth up to you, Lord. You know that every one of these kids has a destiny and a plan for your kingdom, Lord. And we just place them before your throne, Lord. We ask you to just breathe upon them, Lord, a fresh wind of the Holy Spirit. As we go into this conference, let the voice of the Holy Spirit become so clear to them, Lord. I ask that the relationship, the one-on-one relationship with you, the living God, becomes real, more real than this very world that we're living in, God. That the fire of the Holy Spirit just rests upon their head, and everywhere they go, they carry the good news of salvation to the lost. And that they become a beacon of hope to this world, that nothing can stand against them, Lord. That the fire of God just burns within them, Lord. Every step away, Lord, I ask for your angels to be sent with us to protect us as we drive to Tampa and back. And I ask for connections, Lord, new friends, new communities, that you surround them, Lord, with people who want to bring them closer to Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
So is that on Wednesday? So the conference is this Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. You guys are going to have an awesome time. Awesome time. You know, I received the Lord in my life when I was 16. I wasn't raised in a Christian home. And when I was 16, I received Jesus and changed my life, my family, our whole destiny, our children, our grandchildren. There's no telling what God can do with one of these young people. There's no telling what could happen. There could be a pastor here of a huge mega church. There could be an evangelist. Who knows? You never know. But I just know God's going to do great things. So anyway, praise the Lord. So glad you were here today. You're going to have an awesome week. He's the way maker for you. He goes before you. We'll see you next Sunday. Bring someone next Sunday. Invite a guest with you. We'll see you next week. We'll see you at prayer. God bless everybody. Have a great week this week. Got music? Music.